Good. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7, with me this morning, please. Acts, called the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter number 7. And verse number 58. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint your word now as it goes forth. And anoint the messenger, Father. In thy name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We stand this morning between the living and the dead. We stand this morning between time and eternity. We stand today between the saved and the lost. We stand today proclaiming the eternal word of God to souls, to men as they are, before God as he is. You are presented with the word of God. You must make a decision. You can't plead ignorance once you leave this house today. You may not know anything about the gospel. You may never have heard the word of God ever preached before in your life. You may have been raised in liberal churches where it's all been feel good and you have a good perspective of yourself and all that. And now this morning, you're going to hear the truth. Thank you for coming. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. We are introduced to Saul of Tarsus. The scripture says that he was a young man. What you're reading in Acts chapter number 7 is the first martyr of the New Testament church. His name is Stephen. Stephen died, the scripture says, and when he did, he looked up into heaven and said, I saw the Son of Man, see him standing at the right hand of Almighty God. God gave Stephen a vision, not only of heaven, but of his future. And so the scripture says that he passed from this world into the presence of God. Did that do anything for Saul of Tarsus? It may have impressed him because of the way the young man died. He died with courage. He died with his faith. He died standing firm in what he believed. He never equivocated. He never backed up. He stood to the end until they stoned him to death. Stephen died the death of a martyr. He chose eternity over this present world. And that may no doubt have had an impression upon Saul of Tarsus. Because Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, raised among Pharisees of the Jews' religion of the tribe of Benjamin. Circumcised the seventh day, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. His pedigree was perfect as far as religion is concerned. Saul was very dedicated to what he believed. He was very sincere about what he was doing. As far as the religious world is concerned, he probably was what you would say is very accomplished. And there no doubt had he praise upon him because of his zealotry. So Saul of Tarsus was quite an individual. Chapter number 8 and verse number 1 of the book of Acts, the scripture says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. In plainer words, he not only was there, but he agreed with what was happening when this young man was stoned to death. That time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Then the book of Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 3 is, for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He therefore was a vicious persecutor of the church of God. You need to get that in your soul. You need to understand that this Saul of Tarsus was an active, vicious persecutor of God's people. It's not a case where he's indifferent. It's not a case where he says, well, let each man seek his own way, live and let live. That was not Saul's attitude. His attitude was, my way or the highway. His attitude was, I'm right and you're wrong. His attitude was that I am it. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to take you and have you stoned to death. And so therefore, he made no difference between male or female with their little children. He would bring them bound and carry them to a place where they would be persecuted and stoned. Of course, it doesn't say much for the Jews' religion of 2,000 years ago. You certainly aren't living in a place of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Obviously, you would not want to live in this country at this time 2,000 years ago. For they would come and take you out of your house and carry you down to somewhere and lock you up and then probably stone you to death just like they did Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. This is why as an American you should be so thankful to God that you live in a country where you have freedom of speech, still do, and freedom of religion, still do. But there are elements in this nation rising up that are going to try to put a stop to the freedoms that God Almighty, God, not the government, God has given us. We hold these truths to be self-evident. It starts with this preamble to the Constitution and to the foundation of this nation. There's never been another country like this one where you have freedom to worship God. Freedom like I have this morning to get up and preach God's blessed word. Don't take it lightly. Go to Normandy, over there in the coast of France, and look at the thousands of little white crosses in the ground that represent the deaths of 18, 19, 20-year-old Americans who stormed the beaches over there and died for our freedoms in this country. Don't ever forget it was bought and paid for with blood. You need to be reminded of what's happening to America. Now let me get back on my message. I get upset. I get gall to my soul. When any outfit rises up and says, you're offending me with this speech and I don't want you to say that. And this is shut up. Thank God for a country where I've got the right to say what I say. You say your piece, I'll say mine. Till I die. Because that's the only thing fit to live for. Amen. Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor of the church. Notice what it says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1 verse number 13. 1 Timothy 1:13, he says of himself, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So the apostle Paul made no excuses for what he used to be. He didn't say, you know, he didn't try to blame it on somebody else. He said, I am at fault. Blame me for what I did. I did. And God had mercy on my soul. So in the book of Acts chapter number 9, I want you to turn there with me this morning. And here's where we find this apostle. He is yet still Saul of Tarsus. He is a rabid Christ hater. He's a rabid hater of Christians. He is venomous. Notice what it says in verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He was all about hate and venom, slaughter and killing. Have you noticed the new crop of preachers that are coming up in America? Have you really noticed them? Have you noticed that crowd out there that if you don't agree with everything they say, you're going to hell? It is all about do this, don't do this, I believe this, I don't believe that. It's all venom coming out of their mouths. But have you ever really listened to them? How much do they ever say where they glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Where they're full of the Holy Ghost and they exalt the one who went to the cross and died for them? Have you ever seen one of them just go into a fit and begin to praise God and glorify the Lord for because of what He's been good to us? He's done for us. He saved us. If anybody could shout, I could shout. If anybody could for the next million years say, Lord, thank you for where you brought me from, what you've done for me. Hallelujah to thy high and holy name. There's something about a saved person where there's a joy that begins to come up from the inside of them. It's like a fountain that overflows and they can't hold it back because they remember what they used to be and what they are now. Hallelujah to God. It is this glorifying God that sets us apart from religion. Oh, they're so stoic. Oh, they're so contained. Oh, they cover their mother. They're so sure. They're so quick about how they look at you and how they carry themselves in. I don't care, friend. I've been saved. If you can't stand the joy of the Lord, maybe you ought to get some. Amen. So we have a religious man breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And that's all I hear from them and all I hear from a lot of people. If the preacher you're around in your religion is all threatenings and slaughters day in and day out, their threatenings and their slaughters may be about 90% true, and it's not all 100%. Be very careful of the crowds you're running with. Notice Saul of Tarsus, verse 2, chapter 9. And desired of him letters to Damascus into the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, he may bring the men and women and bring them bound into Jerusalem. So we have an active persecutor, hateful, a spiteful man, motivated because every morning this man awakened with hate toward these people. And I thought to myself, now Saul, why are you so upset? What is it that is eating your soul alive? What is it that's eating you up? Where is your peace? Where is your satisfaction in your God? Where is your stability? Where is your foundation? He didn't have any. His life was in a total turmoil. Here, if there ever a fanatic ever lived, it is Saul of Tarsus. He's a fanatic. I mean, he's compelled. He's driven like a demoniac. He's driven. He wants to see more blood. He wants to destroy. Take them and drag them from Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem. There, stone them to death. More Stephens. Give me more Stephens. And so the faces of the little children in Damascus and their moms and their dads, as he drags them out of that place and carries them down to Jerusalem, didn't bother him a bit to look in the faces of the innocent little children and say, "What, mommy, where are you going, daddy? What's happening to you? What is this man? What's he hate us so much for? Why is he tearing up our home? Why is he taking you?" It didn't bother him, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know of anything on this earth that compels men more than a dead, apostate, dying religion. They'll cut your throat. There are people in this world that'll cut your throat in a heartbeat to their God. And they won't half step. And so the book of Acts chapter number 9, the scripture says he was on his way. Now note carefully. As they journeyed, he came near Damascus. And then suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. God's about to get his attention. And he fell to the earth. And heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That's a good question. Oh, that's a good question. What has the Christian church ever done for you? What's it ever done against you? What has the Christian church ever done to hurt you? Why do you hate the church of God so much? Why do you hate the name of Jesus? Why is it? What kind of culture raised you to where you despise the Lord's church? Do you realize what kind of country this could be had it not been for the Lord's church? Napoleon Bonaparte became the emperor of the Republic of France. They overthrew Louis XVI. There's a beautiful painting of Bonaparte standing here and his bride, Josephine. And all that place is full of the French nobility. And he marries Josephine. She becomes his bride. Bonaparte sets about to conquer the world for France. Bonaparte went into Russia. He went into Russia ill prepared. If Bonaparte had been prepared, he might have been able to take Russia, but he didn't. And he had to turn around and he had to leave Russia just like Hitler's troops did in World War II. He left Russia. But think about what I'm about to say to you. If Bonaparte had captured Moscow, if Bonaparte had taken Russia, it might have stopped that murderous Lenin and Trotsky when they rose up as the communists in the early 1900s. Remember them? Do you remember the Communist Party? Do you remember the multitudes of millions, especially in the Ukraine, that died at their hands? Could it be that if they had gone on into Russia and France had spread its apron upon the Russian people, that you might have had a completely different outcome as you've got today? Communism is a murderous devil. Communism will murder you in a heartbeat. Communism has the blood of millions upon millions upon millions on their hands. All you've got to do is learn a little history. Go back and look at things as they move and as history transpires and as it changes and the wave and this and that. And sometimes you say to yourself, what if it had happened another way? Because the French people under Bonaparte were quite different from the Russians. Quite different people. They overthrew Louis XVI. The Treaty of Versailles was in a castle that Louis XVI, a mansion that he had improved upon from the former Louis. And here we have a country that had rebelled. Did you know that right now, 30%, one-third of all Frenchmen claim to be atheist? They say there is no God. You live in a country where 70 to 80% of Americans believe there is a God. Did you know that? They certainly do. They believe there is a God. Whether they ever darken a church door or not, they believe there is a God. Here in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, he said, why persecutest thou me? Look at verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And what's about to happen to Saul of Tarsus is going to hit him like a ton of bricks. It's going to literally blow the foundation out from under his feet. It's going to take a hold of him like nothing's ever taken a hold of him in his life. For the one that he believes is dead and buried, gone, is going to speak to him and say, I am Jesus who you persecute. Hold on. Hold on. Would you get this morning? If you don't get anything else from what I'm saying to you, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not alive today, we're all fools. This is a joke. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not living at the right hand of the Father, we've been deceived and our loved ones are dead. The next time you carry one mother or a father or a husband or a wife, a son or a daughter, God forbid, and you carry their body to the graveyard, let me tell you something. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not alive, that's it. When you bury that body beneath the ground, you're never going to see them again. It's over. Is that the kind of life you want to live? Is that all it's for? Are we nothing more than just some blob living out our time on this earth with no reason to be here? We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. No God, no salvation, no eternity, no resurrection. My, the thought of it! And he said to Saul of Tarsus, I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. Man, did that hit him. I just stood at the stoning of one of your disciples. I watched him die. Oh, he muttered something about seeing you at the right hand of the Father, but I thought there was nothing in the world more than just some kind of an illusion when he was knocked out and he was hallucinating. I'm alive, Saul. I live. That's why I'm up here. That's why I'm preaching. I know he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. I didn't raise him from the dead, and I don't keep him alive. I can't do one thing to add to his stature. I could live 1,000,000 years and not do one thing to make God any better. But boy, could he make me better. He has everything to give me, and I have nothing to give him except what he's already given me. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't have anything. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not alive right now, what am I doing up here preaching to you? What's all this for? Go out and get an honest job. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not living at the right hand of the Father, why are we singing? What's all this about? But he says, I am he that liveth, John, and was dead, John. And look, John, look, John. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I got the keys of death and hell. Amen. Yea, lives. This is what Saul of Tarsus came in contact face to face with. Out of the clear blue. Some of you will get it when you go to the emergency room. Some of you in this house today, you may pass from this world in a cardiac arrest. The heart just stops beating. How long do you think it'd take for you to hit the floor? Some of you will get a diagnosis from the doctor. I'm sorry, you've got 3 months to live. Cancer. You're going to die. Some of you go get in your car and you'll take off down the highway, and some drunk will run a red light or a stop sign and slam right into your car, and you'll die right there. Some of you will join the military and you'll go off into a foreign land somewhere. 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. You go out there and you'll be in a military vehicle, and some IED, improvised explosive IED, I think they call it, will blow up and it'll blow you to pieces and you'll die right there. Your buddies will be around you. Some of you will get so much of life and come to the point where you get so hard and you'll get so bad about everything, you'll put a gun to the side of your head and you'll blow your brains out. Or you'll take a handful of sleeping pills because you can't handle it anymore. Let me tell you something about life. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't get easier, it'll get harder. Amen. The devil's telling you a lie. You're believing a lie. You're young. Your body's young. You can get up and go as you please right now. You're full of life. You're ready to go out and enjoy things. You're ready to go out and have a big time. You're going to live. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. Listen! You're going to get old. And you won't be able to get up. That's what the Lord said. Peter said, Peter, time is going to come when people are going to just lead you about. You won't be able to get up when you want to get up. And every day is going to be a challenge with you, and it's going to be a warfare from the time you wake up, the time you go to bed. Your body won't respond anymore. You're going to hurt where you'd never hurt before. Little things that you take for granted, you're going to wear out and you're going to get old. Some of you will just wear out, wear down, and 85, 90, 95 years old, you'll be laying in a bed somewhere. And you'll have to have people feed you, wash you, take care of you, until your body just fades away and you die. You say, boy, preacher, that's pretty bleak. This is why he's called the Blessed Hope. I don't know about you, but the greatest thing that could happen in here this morning is to hear a shout. Hear a shout. Leave out of here. Acts chapter number 9. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in him? He'll give you eternal life. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah to the Lord. I give unto them eternal life, for they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. Well, preacher, what should I do? Do I need to be baptized? Do I need to quote the scripture? What do I need to do? Do I need to give up this? Go here, do this? No, no. Forget all of that. Salvation is a person. You see, these people up here in the pulpits that are full of venom week in and week out, they've never met that person. Once you meet that person, then you're consumed with that person. I get up thinking about him. I go to bed thinking about him. All through the day I think about him. When something happens, I talk to him. I say, Lord Jesus, thanks be unto God that you live. I put these burdens, this problem in your hands. Lord Jesus, I hurt. Lord Jesus, I need to be healed. Lord Jesus, I need deliverance. Lord Jesus, help me. If my friend, if I was talking to something that's dead, what good would any of that do? But when you talk to somebody that's alive, he can do something about it. Lord Jesus, heal me. I listened to the testimony of a woman yesterday, been sick 10 years. 10 years. Finally, she looked into heaven and said, Lord Jesus, please take this away from me. Please take this physical ailment from my body. Lord Jesus said to her, give it to me. All that time, 10 years, he said, give it to me. She said, I don't know how to give it to you. I've been carrying it for so long, I don't know how to do it. He said, put it here in my hands. Give it to me. And turn around and walk away from it. And let me have it. What happened to her, preacher? He healed her. You mean you believe in healing, preacher? You better believe I believe in healing. I believe in divine healing. I do. If you're in here today and you're lost without God, you've tried reforms, you've tried counseling, you've tried everything religion can offer you to change your life, and it hasn't changed anything. You're the same old person. Why don't you bring yourself down here this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart and save me. And give it to him. Give it to him. He'll take it. He'll take your soul. He'll save your soul. He'll put his spirit in you. And you'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus. If you can do that. You ever tried to cast the Holy Ghost out of somebody? Seems strange, doesn't it? Let me tell you something. Any person that comes up against a child of God, if you're born again, born of the Spirit of God, they can rant and they can rave and they can do as they please. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. They'll hit a brick wall just like that. Amen. Do you know you're born again? Do you know you're standing in the faith? Do you really know it? Remember what I told you last Sunday morning? I'm firmly convinced that we got a good number of people sitting in here. You've never met him. You got religion. You got it all up here. It's all up here. It's up here. It's not here. Why don't you do it today? Why don't you come down here today and meet the one that Saul of Tarsus met on the road to Damascus? Lord, who is this? Who art thou? I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Come down here and I challenge you to ask one question of God. I challenge you to do it. Lord Jesus, if you are alive, show me. Would you do it? Bow your head. Father, I gave them what you gave me. I preached what you put in my heart. I delivered my soul. And my Father, this morning I pray for those who've heard what's been said. Lord, for those that you're going to call them by the grace of God. May they respond and may they do what I said. Simply come before you and say, Lord Jesus, are you there? Are you real? Are you alive? Show me. If they're willing to do that, I know you will. In thy holy name, amen.